Good morning, fam. Man, it's good to be home. Good to be home. Good to be home. Praise God. Well, you know, the musicians know they can relax with me. Y'all know I'm not at all. I remember when I first came to Good Hope, I listened to Pastor Cofield preach a sermon, man, and he just preached the roof off the place, and he ended his sermon with a song. And the next Sunday I came, a pastor that was here named Nicholas Ellen, he preached, and he got through preaching and sang a song. And I was sitting next to another minister named Trevor Calhoun. I say, "Do all of y'all sing?" He say, "No, brother. I don't sing at all. Praise God." Let me say happy Father's Day to everyone. Praise God, all the fathers in the house. And man, 30 years of pastoring here at the Good Hope Missionary Baptist Church, y'all. That is a blessing. That is a blessing. And I thank God that I've had a chance to know him for 2/3 of that time. I've known Pastor now for 20 years. Man, it flows, man. It moves pretty quick. And that is my pastor brother friend. I think that's the title I'm going to have to give him. And been a tremendous influence in my life and allowed me to grow and encourage my growth here. And it's just been a tremendous blessing to my life, and I'm just so glad to be here with you this morning. Those of you who are in the place, those of you who are online, what a blessing today. Well, listen, I'm not going to be long. I want us to go into God's Word. I want you to join with me in prayer, because you don't want me to teach. You want the Holy Spirit to do the teaching, amen? And let's ask him to be the one to speak to our hearts and minds today. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much, Lord, just for this opportunity to come before you as the family you have made us, God. You are our Heavenly Father, and you have blessed us, God, to be appointed for a miracle, to encounter your truth. And we're asking that your Holy Spirit would dispense that truth in a way that would transform our lives, that our minds would be open, that our hearts would be changed, that we would not simply know better, but that we would live better because of your word. God, forgive us of any sins that we have committed, Lord, anything that we have done, said, or thought that was not in alignment with who you are, God, and bless us to receive your truth, to live differently in this world. We thank you. We bless your name. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. 30 years, y'all. That's a long time. 30 years. Now, that's just at the Good Hope Missionary Baptist Church. I just want you to think about, with just a few Sundays off, that's almost 1,500 sermons. That's just a few Sundays off. That's not special occasions. It's not funerals. 1,500 sermons in 30 years. And people really can't appreciate the work that pastors who take seriously their calling go through. Right? They come in and they look for a good word, but they really don't know how you have wrestled with that word, how you have studied, how you've personally been challenged by what you read, to not only seek an understanding for yourself, but to communicate life change to those who hear. And so it's a very weighty thing to do. And I'm not even talking about the time and counsel and prayer with people and dealing with needs and trying to transform a community, but just in wrestling with the word happens for hours every week with the pastor. And I know it kind of comes across as something that's just real easy and it flows and we communicate truth, but it's times when we have a hard time understanding that truth ourselves. There's a very common passage that many of you probably memorized and we all accept and love, and it's beautiful to hear, but I have to share with you, there was a time where there was a part of it that I had trouble with. And it's the 23rd Psalm. Some of you know the 23rd Psalm. Some of you had to memorize the 23rd Psalm, right? 23rd Psalm in the New King James Version. Y'all see if you can follow along with me, right? The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil. You are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Beautiful. Beautiful. But y'all, there was a part of me that wrestled with the understanding of that passage. And it's not just the whole thing, it's really just a part of it that just seemed to kind of conflict with what I understood from Scripture theologically. And it was one word: surely. Right? I could understand if the psalmist would have said, hopefully, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Right? I could amen if the psalmist would have said, prayerfully, goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. But the psalmist said, surely. Right, y'all, and I've read in scriptures, like, you know, it seems like only right people could be sure of right things to come. And when I think about who wrote the song, David, right? I know he's a man after God's own heart. But David did some low-down things. David was a cheat. David was deceptive. David was a murderer. When David wanted to build a temple of God, God said, you got too much blood on your hands. And so how could David say surely? Right? How can any of us be sure goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our life? Y'all, there's a proverb 24:20. Here's what it says. It says, there is no future for the evil man, and the lamp of the wicked will be put out. And if all have sinned, if there's none who does good, then how can no good people expect good to come? So that's the question I want to see if can be answered this morning, is how can you be so sure? And the way ministers get the answers from the questions that come up in reading the text is they actually ask the writer. And so just being able to kind of speak with David, right? David, how can you be so sure? And David actually tells us from the text there's two reasons why he has certainty goodness and mercy will follow him all the days of his life. Here's the first reason he gives. He says, you focused on all the things that I have done, but I'm not certain based on what I've done. My certainty comes based on who he is. Right? If you look at the text, it starts off the Lord. It doesn't say David. Right? If it was starting based on David, then yeah, there'd be no reason for me to be certain. But he names God by name. Yahweh, the great I am, the self-existing one. He is the source of goodness, right? Because every good gift, every perfect gift comes from where? Comes from above, coming down from the Father of light. So if there's going to be goodness, it has to come from God. And so my focus is on him. If there's anyone who could extend mercy, it has to be God. And so it all begins with him, Yahweh. And then look what he says about Yahweh. He says, the Lord is my shepherd. Y'all digest that for a moment. That seems demeaning. That seems so beneath God to call him a shepherd. Y'all, shepherd is not at the peak of income in any occupation or any culture. People don't raise their children in hopes that they become shepherds. Matter of fact, when the children of Israel were in Egypt, the Egyptians didn't want them in town because they were shepherds. They kept flocks. So you need to go on, stay out in Goshen and don't bring all that animal stuff up in here. And it would make sense for David in his description of God, right, the creator of the universe, to speak of who he is, right? He is the Almighty. He's the Most High God. And if you're going to describe any type of occupation with God, right, he's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. Not, he's my shepherd. But David knows something about shepherds, because he was a shepherd. And let me ask you this question. What is the function of a shepherd? I'm not being rhetorical. Somebody tell me, what's the function of a shepherd? Y'all say protect, to lead. And if I were to put all that into one word, it's to care. To care for sheep. When sheep are asleep, the shepherd stays awake. When sheep want to run away from danger, it's the shepherd that runs to danger. And so David is saying, listen, I'm not disagreeing with you about who God is and his greatness. I want you to understand something about this great God. He is the creator. He is the Almighty. He is the Most High God. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. And it's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords that cares for me. Y'all, that sounds pretty good. Of someone who would choose to occupy, right? Well, shepherd is an occupation. And he's saying that the God of the universe has chosen to occupy himself with my care. That sounds pretty good to me, Pastor. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You know, I'm starting to kind of move into this direction of understanding why David could say, surely. You know, it's like the story of the little boy that was in Sunday school. And they were going to have to recite a passage before the whole church. And everybody was giving their passages to recite. And he was given the 23rd Psalm. And he worked on the 23rd Psalm, and he never could get it right, right? He said, the Lord is my shepherd, and waters, no, that's not right. The Lord is my shepherd and pastures, and he worked all through the week. And then finally came upon Sunday, and they had all the kids line up, and everyone got their lines right, and finally he had to come up, stood, and took the microphone, and he looked out at all those faces. And he straightened up and he said with a loud voice, the Lord is my shepherd. And that's all I need to know. Right? If you're ever in a place where you think, man, nobody cares, nobody knows what I'm going through, if you just remember the first verse, the Lord is my shepherd. Y'all, what does it say when an all-seeing God says, I'm looking out for you? Oh, my goodness. But David said, that's just only one reason, I'm sure, right? It's not based on who I am. It's based on who he is. And it's not based on what I do. It's based on what he does. How does God demonstrate his care? David says, you know what? I don't want for anything. And he starts to describe God's care in his life. Right, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. And he's saying he meets all of my physical needs. God cares for me. Y'all, that sounds pretty good if a God is meeting all of your physical needs. But he didn't just meet my physical needs. He meets my emotional needs. He says he restores my soul. Have you ever been tired? And I don't mean tired from exercise, tired from running. I don't mean tired from lack of sleep. I'm talking about tired of trying. Tired of hoping. Tired of thinking things will change and you trying to do everything you can in your strength to change it and never change and you just get tired. It's not your body being tired, that's your soul. If you read through the Psalms, it'll talk about my soul is in anguish. But David says, what I can't do for myself, God does. See, when you're physically tired, you can get some rest. Maybe you can drink some Gatorade, eat something and get a little energy. But when you're emotionally spent, only God can feel you. And so he meets my emotional needs, but he also meets my spiritual needs. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Y'all, I love that qualifier. Right? Because I will choose to go wrong. And I can't take credit for the right. It's always God who's leading me in the right places. If there's been any right steps in my life, it's because of God ordering them. Right? In the 30 years that pastor is celebrating today, he already said it today. It's been a work of faith. He can't take credit. It's because the shepherd has led him in paths of righteousness. And what's so good about that is, David says the reason he does it is because he's connected his own reputation to my walk. You see, he would be a poor shepherd if he loses his sheep. And even though I'm prone to stray, he leads me in paths of righteousness for his sake. Y'all, that sounds good to me. It's good that he meets my physical needs. It's good that he meets my emotional needs. It's good that he meets my spiritual needs. But you know, it almost sounds too good to be true. It almost sounds like David never has any trouble. You ever hear people, they always testify to the goodness of God, but they always leave out the struggles, right? And David says, listen, no, I know trouble. But my trouble, as much as I've experienced them, I've never experienced them alone. King James says, yea, I love yea. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil. He says, no matter what you throw at me, I'm not afraid of it. Now, people might think maybe David is just kind of boasting in himself, y'all, because David could fight. David can handle himself. But David says, no, it's not about me and what I can do. It's about who I'm with. I love the fact that David had to stop talking to me as I asked the question. And he had to start talking to God. He says, you are with me. You are with me. How many of y'all understand the power of presence? You ever been in a place, a difficult place, where if you were alone in that place, it would have been hard. But because you were with the right person, it made all the difference in the world. And David says that's what God does for him. Y'all, you know, Pastor has led this church in doing some tremendous and wonderful things in these 30 years. And his passion has been education, right? He just hurts and longs for people being left behind, knowing the difference that education can make. And y'all, I remember when we had Hope Academy, y'all. And Pastor used to speak real sweet about those kids. Let me tell y'all the truth. Y'all, he would call them industrial strength. Some of y'all remember that, right? That is a euphemism. Y'all, these kids, they had a troubling background. And so anytime he used industrial, I translated in my brain, they're dangerous. Sweet kids. Dangerous. And guess who served as security? Pastor talked about all the jobs I had. Because I know when you think of me, you think strength. That's when you look at me, you think enforcement. And so, y'all, I did security. I was back there where the kids would come in, y'all. And they, look here, 99% of them sweet as sugar. But that 1%. And so, listen, you know, I went to seminary. I didn't go to martial arts school. But I would watch the UFC. I would watch mixed martial arts. And so that 1%, every time they came in, because you didn't know how they were going to come in, mentally, they were in a guillotine chokehold already. Just mentally. You know, if anything went down, there was a triangle choke being applied. I was already thinking what I would do if things got out of hand. And so that was the tension I had sitting back there. Thank God nothing happened. But that was Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Monday and Friday, I never had any issue with those kids. I never had a concern on Mondays and Fridays. You know why? Because on Mondays and Fridays, Officer Joel Miller would be there with me. He was a Harris County Sheriff officer. And he was with me, and just being an officer gave me some confidence, right? He's trained to deal with difficult situations. But not only is he trained to deal with difficult situations, he had two things on him. Y'all, he had a badge on his chest. That badge spoke of authority. It spoke of someone who could communicate right and wrong. But he didn't just have something on his chest. Something on his hip too, y'all. And so that hip spoke of power in case you chose to get too far out of line. And just that presence not only comforted me, but it kept things in line. David says, you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You know, the rod is to keep other things in line, and the staff is to keep me in line. Y'all, that sounds pretty good. But I also, David says, I've also been in trouble with troubling people. Right? He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. He anoints my head with oil and my cup runs over. And it's just a phenomenal thing. David understood being in danger from people. Right? He had to run from King Saul. He even had to run from his son for a while. And he started to understand what God does. First of all, God never got alarmed. It would be a scary situation if God got scared. Amen. But instead of dealing with the enemies, God honored him. It is the picture of a host honoring a special guest to to anoint their head with oil, to overly provide refreshment to them. And David is saying, listen, you understand how I'm so undeserving of God's goodness, and you're absolutely right. I am so undeserving. But he responds with honor for me. Y'all, it's like the prodigal son. If you think about that story, those of you know him, a man who had two sons. And one of them says, listen, Dad, you know what? I don't want to wait for you to die. Just give me what you would owe me before you go. How disrespectful would that be? And he goes and takes his inheritance and he squanders it. And he finds himself in the lowest place he can possibly be, eating pig food with the pigs. And he thinks about what he could do. He says, you know what? My servants live better than this. If I could just go back and be like one of the servants. And some of y'all know the story. He's got his speech ready on what he's going to say to his father, the father that should disown him, the father that really should stone him for the disrespect. He's got his speech ready. And his father sees him a long ways off and runs to him and throws his arms around him and kisses him. And he says to his servants, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger. Put sandals on his feet. Go get the fattened calf and kill it because we're going to celebrate. And here's what you see with the prodigal son. You see a person who deserves to be rejected, being restored and honored. Right? When he goes and gets, when the servants go and get the best robes, whose robe do you think they went to go get? It had to belong to the father. And see, if you are a child of God, even though you may stray, if you come back to him, he clothes you in his righteousness. You don't have any righteousness on your own, but he'll clothe you in his righteousness. And he'll extend his authority to you, right? Putting the ring on his finger wasn't about jewelry. It was an extension of the authority in the family. And the whole point is God honors people who have dishonored him. That sounds like mercy. And David is saying through the word, said to me when I was studying his word, when I look in the rearview mirror, I see goodness and mercy over and over again. You see, mercy in the Hebrew, in that Hebrew passage is hesed. Hesed is steadfast love. Only God could love steadfastly. And it has to have that modifier because I'm so steadfast in my straying from God. But his love is so consistent with me. He keeps coming after me. Even when I fall away, he keeps coming after me. And so if I keep seeing it in my rearview mirror, why wouldn't I expect it in the windshield? Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And y'all, as I start to reflect on that passage, I started to understand why David could say he was so sure. Matter of fact, I started to feel more sure than David. Because I knew more about the shepherd than David did. Y'all hear me on this? Because David says he leads me beside still waters. But you know that same shepherd put living waters in me. David says he restores my soul. But that shepherd rescued my soul. And so I understand him even better than David did at the time. And David doubled down on his certainty, right? He says, he didn't just say, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. He says, and, oh my goodness, I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He says, I'm going to move in with God. Yo, that's a bold statement if you think about it, y'all. Y'all, I've been some nice places before. Some places are so nice, I can't stay there. I can only visit. You know what I mean? There's certain places in the world, you can go to the Taj Mahal, but you can't stay there. And David says, of the house of God, He's going to stay there forever. But guess what? So will I. Because here's what the shepherd told me. He says, in my Father's house, there are many mansions. If it wasn't true, I would have told you. And I go there to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place, then you know I'll come back for you. That where I am, you may be also. And so if David could be sure, and he hadn't even heard it from the mouth of the shepherd, then how much more sure should I be when I've heard it? He goes to prepare a place for me. He has done more for me than even David knew for himself. And not only did David know him as a shepherd, I know him as a shepherd, y'all. 1 Peter 5:4 says, when the chief shepherd appears, he will give to us the unfading crown of glory. So I know not just the shepherd, but I know the chief shepherd. And I don't just know the chief shepherd. I know the good shepherd. John 10:11, right, says, I am the good shepherd. Why? Because I laid down my life for the sheep. Y'all, it's one thing for God to anoint your head with oil, and it's another to say, I'll die for you. How sure should we be for a God who would do all that for people who had dishonored him? It's why the Apostle Paul says, what shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not even give up his own son, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It's God who justifies. Who is it that condemns? Christ Jesus, the one who died, and I love how Paul says this, more than that, who was raised, who sits at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. I want you to think about that. The next time you're going through something, the next time you're feeling discouraged about life, and you're thinking maybe this is the end, some people can't even enjoy the goodness of life because they always expecting trouble to come, right? Blessings will come right in their lap, and they don't even want to celebrate because they know, oh, it's not going to last. I just got to wait for the next shoe to drop. And you're looking at it wrong. What you're doing is you're putting more faith in the troubles of the world than you're putting in the goodness of God. David says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. He is the chief shepherd. He is the good shepherd. David said, he is my shepherd. My question for you, is he your shepherd? Is he your shepherd? And I want you to be honest, because some people think, because I go to church, I read the Bible, that's what it takes. But no, that doesn't necessarily make him your shepherd. You know, there was a generation before me that would say, you know, of Jesus, that he's a lawyer in a courtroom. He's a doctor in a sick room. And I need you to understand, if you believe that, that you can be in the courtroom with the lawyer, and it won't do you any good if the lawyer is not your lawyer. You can be in the sick room with the doctor, and it won't do you any good if the doctor is not your doctor. And so my question to you is, the chief shepherd, the good shepherd, David's shepherd, is he your shepherd? And if he isn't, or if he had, if you have any bit of question about it today, here in this place or online, I want you to hear something today. Goodness and mercy is here today. And you can make a decision right now to be his sheep. And if you are his sheep, then he is your shepherd. So I want you to really pray and be honest today. Don't leave this place having maybe heard something that encouraged you for a moment. and miss encouragement for an eternity. If Jesus has not become your Lord and Savior, make a decision today. You know, Jesus, when he said of his sheep, he says, my sheep know my voice. And so I want you to listen real closely right now. Do you hear him calling you? Is he calling your name? In the next few moments, y'all, we're going to stand. And the Christian workers are going to be standing right here to receive anybody that needs to make a step of faith. And whoever's holding this microphone may be asking you to come, but I don't want you to listen to him. I want you to listen for the voice of the shepherd. And if you hear that shepherd, obey that call. Heavenly Father, I thank you for being so good. I thank you for bringing mercy when I needed mercy. And God, there's someone in the sound of my voice in this place or online that needs to know your goodness and experience your mercy right now. They may be struggling with something in their life, struggling with issues in their mind. And I'm praying that they will know the peace that surpasses all understanding. That it can guard their hearts in mind, in Christ Jesus. And so that as an invitation is made this morning, that they not be distracted by the eyes of people, but be focused on the call of the Savior and walk in faith. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.